Good morning, 11:29 a.m. on whatever day it is, 23rd? Must be the 23rd. It is, it's the 23rd, okay. Woohoo, Sunday, yes. Sunday I knew. I missed yesterday because the weather was just crappy. Call me a fair weather walker, and I'm out late today. 17:39, not bad. Not bad, since I was carrying on a typing conversation while I was walking. So, yeah. Typing and walking in 17 and a half minutes on the first mile. Not bad, not bad, not bad. So anyway, yeah, yesterday. Snow, cold, blowing, rain. There's actually snow on the grass this morning still. Not on the streets, of course. There wasn't any on the sidewalk. It was wet. It was nasty. It was not a day I was going to go out. So, yeah, call me a fair weather walker. Because I didn't go out in it yesterday. Probably should have. It was 28 degrees and the wind was blowing. This morning I took the kid back to school. She's gone back to college. The dorms opened today. Food service opens tonight. She was there when the doors opened at 9. Yeah, living at home is not her strong suit right now. So, This is progress. This is advancement. But it was cold. It was raw. It was wet. It was cloudy. So I went back inside. And so now I'm up and walking. I left the house at 11:11. Make a wish. My wish was, I wish this walk was done. But I'm out. I'm hiking. So I had a rather lengthy exchange with Tara Lee on What Makes a Better Book. And I appreciate the concern. I appreciate the feedback. It's like, violence does not make it a better book. I'm not buying that. Economic warfare as a vehicle for conflict, possibly. But we're not talking about quite the same thing. And owners share what makes what I, and he specifically called me to task on why I said owners share was a better book, even though it's confusing. Now, I didn't find it confusing. Now, it could be that I did a very bad job, but I didn't find it terribly confusing. It seemed pretty straightforward. A lot of people have said, well, Tara's the second person, who said Ish's failures weren't like Ish. They weren't the things that he would normally fail on. And yet they were. They were the things where he had to have judgment. And he had no context. Because he was not operating in the same field. He thought he was. As a ship captain, he certainly was. Gramps was off balance. Gramps had him off balance the entire time because he was another engineman with a split personality. He also had baggage in that he represented Christine Maloney's security arrangements. And so he, you know, that's a factor. And no, it's not a factor that I spelled out in the book, but it is a factor. So perhaps, instead of making the book shorter, I should have made the book longer and spelled out some of these things that were there, but not explicitly there on the page. And I could have sworn that I had put in the final chapter, or the final two or three chapters, that Ishmael was going ashore, that he had been his company, and therefore the Iris, which is the sole asset of the company, had been purchased by Diurnia Salvage and Transport, on the direction of their new chairman of the board, Christine Maloney, and that she had hired Ames Jarvis to be CEO, just the way that Kirsten Kingsley wanted, but not exactly in the way that anybody expected. Now, there was a lot of stuff that happened underneath the surface because the limitations of first-person point of view, and perhaps that's part of the problem, is that I know everything that Wallace Simpson. I know everything he was doing. I know, for example, that he regularly used his bodyguards as spies, as corporate espionage, not just for convincing his clients that they needed protection, but also actively spying on them. That Gramps was one of his senior operatives, and he was very, very upset that Gramps was taken out of the picture by what is basically a contractor hired gun. A hired gun gone bad, hired gun gone rogue, a hired gun who apparently got away with it. There's more to Percival Herring than meets the eye as well, as with everything. He is a sociopath. He is a psychopath. But a relatively high-functioning one. So we will be meeting him again. Ishmael will, in fact, be meeting him again. One of the next three books will be about that meeting. But we have some ways to go yet. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that... I shouldn't be reading the one-star reviews, but I read the one-star reviews. And I read the five-star reviews. I read all the reviews, actually. And a lot of people, you know, it's like, okay. In many ways, I'm convinced people read the book that they wanted to read and not the book that I actually wrote. Now, I'm not sure that's true. I have had people who I know are very careful readers who have come back to me and said, you know, this was a disturbing book. Well done. And yeah, it was a disturbing book. It was part and parcel of what this journey was about. Dan Sawyer wrote a very nice review of the whole series some time ago. Last year, maybe before. It was a coming-of-age story that didn't lie. That it didn't all turn out the way coming-of-age stories usually do, with the hero getting the girl in the end and riding off into the sunset for happily ever after. In fact, most coming-of-age stories stop before the real trouble starts, and that was something that I didn't want to do. So, yeah, did I ham-hand it? Did I ham-fist it? Did I have a clunky plot? Perhaps. I could have had the ship explode. I could have had them run out of fuel. I could have had them do any number of things. Greta could have said, you know, it was fun while it lasted, but you're not the guy. Somebody needs to grow up. Now, Tara Lee didn't like the fact that Greta took control of the relationship in the first chapter of Owner Share, told Ishmael to piss off. Yeah, okay, I accept that. I got one guy who says I should rewrite this book. No. I'm not going to rewrite the book. The book is the book. Good morning.
Hey, how you
Good morning. Good morning.
Hello.
Monk Bowl. So, I'm not going to rewrite the book. Could I have done a better job? Could I have done a smoother job? Could I have had... See, the problem is that a lot of the confusion, a lot of the sandbagginess, a lot of the feeling of being gut punched comes from being behind Ishmael's eyes, and only behind Ishmael's eyes. He's the only brain you see. He's the only brain you see in, so he's the only eyes you see out. And so, like many of us who've reached a certain age, this idea of being sucker punched is in fact how most of us feel more than once as a rule. I know I've been gut punched at least 6 times, probably 8. And the sense that I've treated him badly and that he acted out of character, that's the part that's most troubling. That's the criticism that seems to be leveled most. I heard that about the Piranha fisheries, and that they didn't understand fishing, and that the reality was they didn't understand fishing. They just did what they'd always done, and so they'd overlooked all kinds of opportunities for them to participate in. Ishmael is operating at a different level. It's definitely Peter principle. It's definitely risen to his above his level of competence. His captain, in his first command, he was nearly there. He was right on the cusp. He needed more time to be captain. He needed more time with some steadying influences. He'd only been captain for, a year, year and a half? Now he's owner. And during his time on the Agamemnon, he made some really spectacularly good decisions. He also made some really specious ones. The slingshot. Now that was bad. That was a bad decision. And he shouldn't have been even thinking about it. And it took Greta to tell him, dude, wake up. But Greta was taken out of the picture. She was taken out of the picture early. And that was on purpose, so that Ishmael would be forced to make these decisions on his own. So Ishmael would not have the support structure. So Ishmael would not have the wealth of knowledge that an engineer like Greta had. Had Greta seen those blueprints, she would have known exactly what they were instantly. Ishmael didn't see it because he'd never seen it. He thought they were extra insulation, and in a certain sense they were, because it wasn't the glass, he was looking at the panels that moved, and not the outside edge, not the outside bulkhead. He didn't see it, he didn't spot it, it didn't trickle through his exhaustion and his stress and all the other things that he was going through at the time. Even later, when they had the ship in space and he's looking out over the hull and he sees these sort of smooth glassy patches on the outside of the ship, it doesn't think about it as being glass, because we don't have portholes in ships. It's not something that happens. We certainly don't have whole vast armor glass walls. That's madness. Except of course it's not madness, because he did have an almost armor glass wall at the front of his ship on the Agamemnon. He just didn't put the two together. He just didn't make the connection. He didn't make the intuitive leap because he was out of his depth. Now, was he acting irrationally? Was he acting beyond stupid? Was he falling into the trap of being too stupid to live? There are times I wouldn't argue. Maybe made him a little too dumb. But there's stuff there, and I reached for something that perhaps I shouldn't have. I reached for perhaps more than I could have delivered. And yet, I have as many people who say, dude, this was stupid. I have 10 times more people saying, dude, this was brilliant. I'm not sure either one of them were absolutely right. Because if I couldn't do it better, then I wouldn't write the next book. I wouldn't be going for another Ishmael Wong story. I have 3 Ishmael Wong stories and 3 Natalia Ruggieri stories. Now we see what happens at the end of those six books. Because I have a feeling, my inclination is that we'll have a long series of adventures with Ishmael beyond these 6. Once he gets out of the dark, deep dark, once he gets back to use the EVE Online metaphor, once he gets back to high sec, but there are a lot of stories yet to the Confederate planets. No, I'm not going to have him be, you know, some sort of rebel leader and overthrow the Confederated planets. That's not how it works. To begin with, you can't overthrow the Confederated planets. It would be like trying to overthrow the FAA. It's not something you can really do. It's one of the realities of this universe, is that it's not a government. They control many government-like functions. They have many government-like powers. They have many aspects like licensing and control of trade. And Confederated planets even control the Galactic Marines. So they have their own enforcement branch. But it's not a government. It's not a government you can overthrow. It's not a government that you can say, oh, well, yes, it's going to be a common uprising because there's nothing to uprise against. We're going to kick the Confederated planets off this station. And then what? Then how does that work? Then what happens? That actually is going to make a pretty good story, I think. So anyway, yeah, I've had a lot to think about, and I'm really looking forward to getting out of the paperback editing mode and getting back into writing mode. I've got to sit with my daughter. She's got to do 6 makeup essays to make up for the time that she was in the hospital. And so I'm going to sit with her. We're going to have writing time. And I will write and she will write and we will both write. She will do her homework and I will write something new and exciting. Or probably Cape Grace, since that's the next one on my list. But I did cross a new one off the list yesterday. I got the... Yeah, 18 minutes on the back half. Not bad. I think I've crossed off now all of the audio work for Outsiders. The only work I've got left now is my work. So I think I've removed all the last of the outside distractions. And now it's time to start focusing on getting my own stuff done. But thank you, Tara Lee, for engaging me on this idea, on this subject, on what this idea of better book means. Because that's one of the things that I have to struggle with. It's one of the things I have to fight with. It's like, what made Zyfira's Call better than Ravenwood? And part of it was the complexity of the plot. And part of it was writing Rebecca. Having Rebecca be the sidekick, or having Rebecca be something other than a male holding her up. Having Frank be a support structure instead of a partner, which in many ways in the first book he was kind of shallow. And having Rebecca be that character and having a life of her own made a big difference. Having Gertie have a life of her own made a big difference. I think that was a better book. Hermit, having Gertie have a life of her own in Hermit. I think Hermit was a better book. I think I did better with characterization and setting in both of those books than I had done in Ravenwood before. And I hope I'm going to take those same lessons and move them into South Coast and then onward. I need to make South Coast seem less something. I'm not quite sure what. There's a conflict in South Coast, not South Coast, Cape Grace, where Otto has been accused, was accused in Half Share of being bullied into allowing this guy, this abuser, to marry Sarah. And that's only Sarah's view. There's actually a truth that goes beyond either Otto's reality or Sarah's. So it should be interesting to try to explore some of that. And I hope it comes out. I hope it works. I hope I'm able to make it work. If not, there's going to be another book after that, so stay tuned. But anyway, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.